Well, it's official. A royal couple will be moving to Canada.
Prince Harry and Meghan dropped a royal bombshell last week. The couple took to social media to announce they're stepping back from senior royal duties. The palace wasn't impressed, and the Queen called an emergency crisis meeting to figure out next steps.
The Queen calling the discussions constructive, adding she's supportive of Harry and Meghan's desire to be a young, independent family. She also confirmed that Harry and Meghan will be living in Canada. This, as you'll hear from our guest today, is huge. Half in, half out, it's never been done before. So what's behind the move? What are Harry and Meghan's plans for their time in Canada? What does this mean for their future? And what does this mean for the future of the monarchy? I'm Claire Broussard, in for Jordan Heath-Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Patricia Treble of WriteRoyalty.com is the royal contributor for Maclean's. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, Claire.
So tell me about the moment that set all of this in motion, the big announcement.
Well, the big announcement came on the 8th of January. It was after 6 o'clock London time, so all the palace officials and everyone had gone home, right? They were or leaving, or they're in transit. And Harry and Meghan sent out what they called a personal message using the royal communications. So I got an email, like all other royal reporters who were on that system. They also put it on their Instagram account and everything like that, and basically saying they are stepping away from their roles as senior royals, which came as a bit of a surprise to a lot of people, because further reporting shows that while they've been talking about reimagining their roles and changing their roles and maybe kind of stepping back from some duties, the Queen had very explicitly said to Harry, please don't do anything public until we've settled this out. And they went ahead. And by all accounts, gave his brother, Prince William, and his father, Prince Charles, 10 minutes notice. So it was a done deal. So they have basically launched themselves into the great unknown royal-wise.
And I mean, you follow royals for a living. What was your first reaction?
My first reaction was my jaw dropped. And when I picked it up, I forwarded that email on to my editors with eight engine, like, you know, those red fire engines, those sirens,
okay.
Eight sirens going, this is huge, breaking news. It was jaw dropping because it is so unusual.
Yeah.
You know, we've never had a senior royal stepping away from their duties like this before. And it was also very personal. I mean, for royal watchers, we could kind of see this coming. We knew that there was a change coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just with them taking 6 weeks off at the end of last year. It was even before that. If you go back, you know, to the previous months when they were in Southern Africa and they gave that incredibly emotional, raw interview to a documentary reporter who's
right.
One of their friends, Tom Bradby. And they talked about how, Harry talked about how he basically really doesn't like the press at all. I mean, every click reminds him of his mother. And if you looked at Meghan, you know, she was clearly under pressure. She was struggling in the role. And she kept talking about how it wasn't enough to just survive, you had to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew there was going to be a change. And even then, if you go even further back, though, there are these little telltale signs. And one of the big ones for royal watchers, when you kind of look at it, is, and this sounds so simple, you know, or not even obvious, but it's that they have not gone to Balmoral, which is the summer vacation spot of the Queen. The Queen goes up there for a few months every year, late summer, early autumn, and all her family come visit. And they usually come for about a week, you know, and they'll roll through. You know, it's not like everyone comes for the same week. And they roll through and they go hiking and they do all sorts of stuff. And she loves having her family around her. I mean, it's the same like at Christmas. She likes to have her extended family gathering together. You know, she's 93. She's always done this. It's very much her thing.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 years, they've begged off Balmoral. Yeah. They have not gone. And that's kind of one of those little signs that all was not well, that all was not settling in as well as everyone had hoped she would.
So what was the reaction then from Buckingham Palace?
The reaction from Buckingham Palace was astonishing because about 2 hours later, there was this two-sentence missive that basically said, oh, I mean, cut through all the niceties, and it was like, oh my, we need to think about this. This is all really complicated. Oh my, basically that's what it is. And you could see that they were clearly caught off guard, and they were making no bones about the fact that they were caught off guard by what Harry and Meghan did. And it wasn't just the message alone, you know, saying, you know, they want to balance, you know, their time between the United Kingdom and North America. They want to balance their private life, their family life with duty, you know, and they kept talking about how they want to, you know, collaborate with the Queen and honor our duty to the Queen and the Commonwealth and everything like that. But it was at the same time they launched a website, Sussex Royal, and that's their brand.
Right.
And it was the SussexRoyal.com. And if you looked at it, it was all loaded with this incredibly sophisticated website with all their thoughts about, you know, the financing, how they're going to finance themselves. They're talking about financial independence, and it talks about the Commonwealth and everything like that. So this was not a sudden thing. This was not just a sentence. This was planned. They had been working on this for a very, very long time.
Hmm.
And why exactly they launched it at this point? Likely because, you know, his thoughts, you know, his preliminary thoughts about spending more time in Canada or spending more time, you know, away had made the press. There was a story in The Sun the day before, and they just thought, let's just go for it. But they didn't tell Granny.
Yeah, and speaking of the press, we've seen so many examples lately of different headlines for Kate and Meghan. I mean, there's times when they're doing both the exact same thing, yet the headlines for Kate can be positive and cheery, and the headlines for Meghan can sometimes be pretty nasty. What is that all about, and do you think that could be behind Harry and Meghan's decision to leave?
So I've talked about this, I went into a certain depth. I'm going to back up to say that the tabloids in Britain, the press in Britain is just a whole different beast from what we're used to here. I mean, you must understand that. And the other thing is you've got this differentiation between the print side and the online side there that you don't have here. So it's, again, a very different beast. And so if you're looking at something like Daily Mail, they will take a story and they will slice it 58 ways to Sunday.
Mm.
And they'll have 58 little stories, and with all with clickbait headlines and stuff like that, because that's what they're doing. They want you to click on the article. They want you to read the article. So the more extreme the headline, the more they can torque and spin something, they will do it. And that is its standard over there. And so what happens is, unfortunately, Meghan is the first person to marry into the royal family in the social media world.
Oh, right.
And in the first world of this new type of journalism, this online, you know, take a tiny little snippet. Like, there was a snippet about a Canadian billionaire. Somebody reported a Canadian billionaire was the one who loaned them his house in Vancouver Island. Instantly, that story was everywhere. They did all this thing about, here's this guy, here's his relationship to Clinton, da, 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 da. And then he goes on Twitter and he goes, no, I don't have a house here. I have no communications. This is completely false. But by then, that story is everywhere. And unfortunately, what happens is you get these stories. So you'll get, you know, Kate looks fabulous in green. Meghan looks bad in green. But
right.
Then you'll get Kate looks fabulous in green. Kate looks bad in green. Kate looks good in white. Why is Kate wearing white again?
Mm.
You get these stories endlessly. And the issue is that what a lot of people in, you know, when you become famous, that one of the first things everyone advises you, don't read the press.
Yeah.
Don't read the press. There is so much bad press out there, and it is torqued, and often it is wrong, and often it is inflamed. And we're not talking the mainstream media. We're not talking the royal correspondents and things like that. We're talking about just the amorphous stuff that everyone finds online. And it's clear that they are reading the press, and they're getting more and more upset. And I would be, because a lot of the stuff is, they'll take a little nugget of information and they'll spin it. But at the same time, they were getting upset about things that had proved true. So Harry and Meghan were really upset about that they were splitting from William and Kate and forming their own charity. That turned out to be true. They were upset because, you know, there were reports that Meghan and Harry were churning through staff. That was true. That they were, you know, that they were leaving the Kensington Palace compound. That was true. You know, that they jetted off repeatedly on private jets in the middle of summer while also talking up environmental causes. That's true. Mm. So, you know, you're putting yourself in the public eye. You have to expect criticism. Some of it is going to be unbelievably wrong, and some of it is going to be legitimate. And it's a matter of balancing that out.
What does it mean, really, to step away from the family, like, officially? Like, will Harry still be prince and Meghan still be a duchess?
Who the heck knows?
Really, we don't even know.
This is the mystery. We don't really know what this is going to mean, what their future is, but you can start divining the tea leaves. I mean, parsing royal statements is an art form that a lot of us have figured out.
Okay.
And so if you look at the statement after everyone met at Sandringham to talk about this, the Queen issued a statement on January 13th. And in it, she talked about how it was incredibly emotional. It was a very personal message. The Queen does not do emotion like this, not in public.
Right. It's not her thing.
Formal woman, formal generation. This is simply not, it is not for her to do. It's, you know, for other generations to do. You know, you'll get Charles and everyone hugging people, not the Queen. But if you looked at it, she talks about Harry and Meghan. You know, she doesn't talk about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. She talks about family 8 times. Mm. And she says that they will, quote, remain a valued part of my family. But it's clear, she says, we wanted them to stay full-time royal, working royals. They're not going to. Valued member of my family. I think what that means is that they're not going to be doing official duties. I think that that is pretty much sending out the signal that if they want to go into commercial ventures, which it looks as though they do, to take the Sussex Royal brand global, that is simply incompatible with royal duties because you've got that conflict of interest. Because are you doing something because somebody's paying you to do it, or are you doing something because you're supporting the crown? And remember, official royal duties, and those are the ones that are in the court circular, you're doing this in support of the monarch and the monarchy. You're not doing it for yourself. It is very much in support of her. You're aiding her. So I think they're going to be all out. But they are still her family. They are still the Queen's family. Yeah. And like other royals who are private citizens who do not do official engagements, they will. You'll see them at big grand events. You'll see them at weddings. You'll see them at all that sort of stuff. The Queen likes her family around her. But I suspect they will not be doing official engagements, that side is over. And that's going to be a huge change.
So the Queen released this statement, but how do you think she's really feeling about all this?
It's clear from the statement, and it's clear from all the PAL sources who've been talking in the last, you know, week or two, that the Queen is really sad. I mean, it kind of comes across that she's not only sad at the way it happened, that she wasn't given notice, that she wasn't told. I mean, that her grandson didn't say, oops, I'm upending the family firm. But that she's sad that there's a split within the royal family.
Yeah.
And it really comes across in that message, you know, when she, you know, she talks about, you know, how they're going to, they respect and support their decision and stuff like that. And when you listen to it, when you read it, it's so atypical of the Queen. You know, she did it deliberately. And what everyone says is that for a woman who's 93, you know, whose husband, who's 98, and who is, you know, increasingly frail, this is not a stress she needs right now.
Right.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, yes, she's Queen. She's still doing her job. This is what she signed on for all those years ago when she said, you know, her whole life, whether it be long or short, is, you know, to your service. But man, you have to have sympathy for her. And this is what I hear everyone say, is that regardless of whether they, you know, they're in Harry and Meghan's camp or whether they, you know, the other camps, because there's, you know, everything's being divided, pick your sides. The one person everyone has sympathy for is the Queen.
Hmm. So what does this mean for Canada? Anything other than a little celeb power?
I think it's a boost in tourism. I mean, do you not want to go to Vancouver Island right now and start hiking?
Of course.
Yeah. Like, I totally want to go. I've always wanted to go. It's climbing up my bucket list, I'm going to say dramatically. I think that there is a push. I think there's also kind of a fun. We've always treated the monarchy, it's not an actual core part of our daily existence the way it is in Britain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do the big tours, we do the big weddings, we do the big scandals. But now we've actually got somebody who's actually going to be spending some time here. How long they're going to be spending time here, I have my suspicions. I think this is a way station on the route to something bigger and better. Yeah. Do you see them settling into, you know, Victoria? Greater Victoria's maybe, what, 300,000-400,000? Mm-hmm. I can't see them settling there full time. I'm going to be honest, a little quiet. I would love it. The hiking is amazing. I can see it a little quiet for somebody who wants to build a global brand.
Yeah.
But it also has very quick access down to California where Meghan's mother, Doria, lives. And that's, of course, where a lot of her advisors are. She still kept all her Hollywood advisors. But I think it's fun because, look, we're talking about it. Either there's the poll out, is he going to be governor general? No, he's not going to be governor general. But there's this fun poll and everyone kind of, you know, mulls it over and thinks, oh, this is weird. And having a royal in Canada, let's face it, there is an interest, right?
Yep.
What do the New York Times says? It'll introduce some razzle-dazzle into this country.
Razzle-dazzle, I love that. Would they have any kind of formal role here in Canada, or could they if they wanted to?
This is where it becomes a little tricky.
Okay.
Because are they doing official duties on behalf of the Queen, the monarch, who's the Queen of Canada, or not? And if they're doing that, where does the crown in Canada fit? Because remember, we have a governor general, we have lieutenant governors, right? Where do they fit into that model? They don't really. I mean, they're not here on a trip. They're stationed here. And where it can become a little bit even trickier, even more concerning, is what happens about what causes they pick. So, you know, they're very much into environmental causes, very mm-hmm. much in women's empowerment. So are the lieutenant governors in British Columbia and Ontario, who are women. So what happens when there's a big conference? Do the conference organizers invite the lieutenant governor, or do they invite Harry and Meghan? That's a conflict, because you know what's going to happen. They're gonna go where the biggest bang is. They're going to want Harry and Meghan, or maybe they invite them all. But the other thing is, you know, you've got also the costs, you know, and it's not to be underestimated. I mean, it was noticeable that both the finance minister, Bill Morneau, and the prime minister, Justin Trudeau, both came out when the Queen made her announcement saying they're going to be spending time in Canada, you know, and they both said, we haven't really had any discussions yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure everything will be fine. And I'm sure it will be, but we haven't had any discussions about this. And the security costs will be immense.
Oh, yeah.
Because they definitely must have security. Mm-hmm. And who pays for that? How's that apportioned? Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's actually a question that a lot of Canadians have with all of this is, are we going to be paying for their security?
That is the issue. When they were here, you know, when so far we have been paying for security. I mean, there is RCMP protection on their retreat on Vancouver Island. I mean, and that's just automatic. They're very important people, and they're actually classified that way. But also, he's the Queen's grandson.
Right.
You know, their child is the Queen's great-grandson. And they have, there are security needs. And we have no problem paying for that. So when we have royals come on private visits before, they have automatically RCMP protection. When Harry was here in 2017 for the Invictus Games, that was technically a private visit. There was lots of RCMP around, obvious and hidden. And that's just automatic for any important person coming to Canada like that who is representing a country. The question is going to be, though, yes, if they make this their home, if they make this like a part-time base, are we expected to pay those costs? And I think that's what the Prime Minister and the Finance Minister were hedging at right after the Queen's message saying that they were coming to Canada, when they kind of said, we haven't really had discussions about this. We don't know. Are we expected to pay part of it and the British taxpayer will pay part of it? Mm. That is simply unknown right now.
You mentioned that you don't think they're going to stay in Victoria. Do you have any ideas of where they might go?
I don't think so. I mean, in the Queen's message, she talked about, you know, during a period of transition, the Sussexes will spend time in Canada and the UK. A period of transition was very definitely in that sentence. I think ultimately they'll probably end up down in the United States.
Right,
I mean, okay. I think that's, they're very much modeling themselves after Oprah, Barack and Michelle Obama, those sorts of people. And I don't see Canada fitting into that. Now, they might find this a nice place to get away, you know, as lots of famous people do. They come here and they go skiing, they go to, you know, the lakes, the Kawarthas and the Muskokas, you know. Would you not like to look at the icebergs in Newfoundland? I very much would. I can see little Archie going crazy if a whale comes up to him. You know, that sort of thing. So, but maybe that's what Canada is going to be to them. But is Canada going to be central to their future? I would not bet the house on it.
What do you think is going to happen with the monarchy?
This is the interesting point for me. I mean, for people who are really interested in looking at the monarchy and how it's evolved over time. I mean, this is the interest very much. And I think we're at one of those inflection points within the monarchy. And there have been several during the Queen's reign. We had one after Diana died.
Mm-hmm.
in 97, and a few years later in 92, her annus horribilis, when she had all the divorces and separations and Windsor Castle burned down, and then she agreed to pay taxes, you know, Buckingham Palace was open. It marked a change. And if you look back 20 years, you can clearly see that change. Wasn't as obvious at the time. I think this is going to be one of those inflection points. Prince Charles has made no secret that he wants to slim down the monarchy, the working royals. Nobody's going to go over the Queen's head right now, but obviously, you know, her reign, you know, it's going to be 68 years in February. It's coming gradually to a close. He wants a much slimmer monarchy. He wants the focus to be on the monarch, the heir, and family. Hmm. And the others will simply be, will have jobs and everything like that. They will be family. They will be personal family. And so that is the focus now. So it means that of the 15 working royals now they do, last year they did about 3,400 engagements. What happens when all of a sudden you're narrowed down and now you've only got Charles and Camilla, who are in their 70s.
Right.
You've got William and Kate, who are in their 30s but have young kids, and we're kind of working on a part-time pace, a little bit more than a part-time pace, but that was basically it because they were raising kids. They had that luxury of time to do that. And everyone assumed you were going to have Harry and Meghan beside them, helping them out. And now that's gone. So who else is around? You look around, the only two working royals who are under 70 this year are William and Harry's uncle, Prince Edward, and his wife, Sophie, Countess of Wessex. That's it.
Wow.
So you're about to hit this very sharp narrowing of the royal family. And then it'll even out again. So I think we're about to go from seeing royals kind of everywhere, all over the place, to a very narrow monarchy. Here's the little hiccup. You can say, oh, this happens in, you know, in Scandinavia and things like that. But the Queen is not just Queen of Britain. She's not just Queen of Canada. She's right. Queen of 16 realms in total, who all expect regular visits, who all expect this. But if you're shrinking the monarchy that narrowly, how often is that going to happen? We haven't had a royal visit since Charles and Camilla were here in 2017 for the 150th anniversary of Canada. There was an expectation that we were going to have a royal visit this year. The expectation was it was likely going to be Harry and Meghan. That is now off. Mm-hmm. And so when are we going to next get a royal visit? I don't know.
Thank you, Patricia.
You're more than welcome, Claire.
Patricia Treble of WriteRoyalty.com is the royal contributor for Maclean's. And that was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can also chat with us on Twitter. We are at TheBigStoryFPN. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like us, please give us 5 stars. I'm Claire Broussard. Thanks for listening.